It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I told Peter that I didn't know if I would be able to continue this with him if he were to sleep with other women. That is such a big deal to me that I kind of feel like it's, I don't know, honestly, kind of like a make or break for me.
Wait. So Madison saying that Peter's actions with me and Victoria will determine if she can move forward with him or not.
I was thrown off by that. We knew what we signed up for. I knew going into Fancy Duke was going to be uncomfortable. It's truly madness. Like, it's just madness.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, here for the second week of playoffs. Fantasy Ooh. Suites.
Last week of playoffs. Next week is the finals. So the this big is game. The semifinals.
Yeah, Fantasy Suites is always very interesting. This is the part of the game, of course, where our Dark Lord sends out invitations to the Fantasy Suites, complete with golden Harry Potter-style keys, usually.
Yeah, that's a tradition that has been going on for decades now, giving that literal gold key, even though there's no way that opens a door in a modern hotel room.
These people have to fuck for our pleasure. That's the stage we're at in the game.
But we're seeing in this episode that maybe there are some very bold, very effective strategies where they might not have to fuck.
Watching tonight, I mean, I was fucking excited. The level of play we're seeing at this point is astounding. It's doing things that redefine the game.
There was a play of the game worthy play by each of the three players this episode for me.
Unquestionably. It really is like when Steph Curry starts making a million three-pointers a game, and now every team's got to kind of be able to do that or stop it in some way. Change the nature of the game. I think we saw that tonight.
Wow. Bravo, Sless, Maddie, and Victoria Fuller. Unbelievable play. We start out the episode. We get a reminder that PP says, my wife is in this hangar.
It's nice to have hangars with wives.
He's going to end up with one of the planes, I think, is the foreshadowing. He has this conversation with Maddie. She says, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I kind of would be uncomfortable if you fuck any of the other players. She does not reveal that she's a virgin. She says, I hope you know my heart.
She doesn't exactly say that, though, either. This was a long play of the game for me, but this was my play of the game.
This was also my play of the game.
It was the best fucking play, period. I mean, she starts it out in this first iteration in a hazy kind of gray area where she's just voicing general displeasure at the idea of him being intimate, as he puts it, with any of the other players.
But was a semi-ultimatum, and for me, that was why it was so perfect.
It was only a trap.
Yes. It was like, oh, like, just so you know, like, I don't know about this. And then she can later be like, well, I told you you might lose me if you did it.
And you did it anyway.
And you did it anyway. It was fucking perfect.
It was absolutely incredible to watch PP squirming, to be trying to draw out a little more information. Well, what exactly are you saying here?
Bachelor Clues at this point said, she said, for me, actions speak louder than words, and I'm just really big on that. And Bachelor Clues said, so do blowjobs speak louder than words?
I think that's literally what he was trying to figure out. How far could he go? Okay, maybe I won't have sex with him, but what about a hand job? What about some heavy petting all night long? He wanted to know where the line was, and Maddie would not tell him.
No.
She just said there may not even be a line, but I'm not saying there isn't.
I don't know how I would feel. It was
master level.
Perfect.
Master level. She has set the rule for the entire episode we're about to watch now. We're only watching to see if he will cross whatever line that we know exists with her. We just don't know where it is. We're in PP's situation now.
I'm with PP.
in most seasons of Bachelor, you don't really give a fuck about the Bachelor. He's just kind of window dressing there to to kind of push the thing along. You're really watching the women.
Exactly. They kind of, they take any edge that the crown winner has and they kind of sand it down for when they are the Bachelor. So that's why often people will be like, oh my God, we want Caitlin Bristow to be the Bachelorette. And that, because she's the one who like fucking jumped in the lake naked. And then when it's her season, it's like way more tame. But yeah, this was an unbelievable play. And part of that is because we see the second half, which we can discuss later. But it was sort of a two-part play where she gives a semi-ultimatum. It's vague enough so that PP thinks, okay, I have permission to fuck. But Maddie, in her mind, can be like, I told him and he did it anyway. She focused so much on her standards in that conversation. Ugh, it was so good. So, so good.
She set up an unbreakable identity for herself as the next Bachelorette as well. She has high standards. But we found 30 guys who can meet them. Here you go, Maddie. The first pure virgin season of Bachelor. All players and the Bachelorette. Virgins.
I don't think we're going to see an entirely virginal season. I think we'll have a couple born again virgins. And then we'll have some people who are like, I'm okay with it. I think we'll have to cross that bridge.
And we have Nick Viall. He's in the player pool. And Nick Viall in the player pool. That would be the best season of this show ever.
Maddie does something when they are all together, all three women, where she keeps going off and like...
Well, let's first talk about what happens after that. We see her have the conversation outside the hangar. Now, we're in beautiful fucking Australia. PP is walking around and looking at kangaroos, and isn't it fun? And then we see Maddie is in the hotel room by herself, or so we think. Then the door opens and fucking Hannah comes in. And then the door opens later and fucking Victoria comes in. These fucking producers are making these women stay in the same place. It looks, in many cases, like the same fucking room. In some cases, in the same bed, 6 inches from each other, having a fucking face-to-face conversation. What in the fuck is going on?
They are all in a room that is 3 feet by 3 feet for this whole episode. They've never done this before. This is a first.
No.
Where usually they have the women staying in separate places. The women don't know the order of the fucking...
They don't see each other.
This change. It's so blatant. It's so, they're like, let's just keep turning up the dial. Let's see how much we can go on this pressure cooker.
Where are these fucking conversations? If you're one of those three women in that fucking room, at some point, aren't you like, how could the fucking producers do this to us? This is insane.
I think they do have this like Stockholm syndrome thing where they're like, these people are my friends.
But I mean, in that case, they all have to be in on it together. The producers and the players are all like cooking up a show for us. And none of this is real. That's the only way you could still be friends with somebody who put you through something like this.
I don't know. It's so good.
They're actively trying to sabotage you at every fucking turn. And this is clear evidence of it. What purpose does that serve to have them all in the same place other than to stir shit up?
I mean, save a little money. No, for me, I have always... One of my favorite parts of the show is when you're down to 4 or 3 players in the rose ceremony. Because the relationships are so much deeper, it is so awkward. And that you only usually get that at rose ceremony. And here we're getting it in every conversation. When they cut away from the dates, we're seeing the other two talking about them like... Oh, they're probably going to bed now.
I'm not saying it's not more entertaining because we get to see more play, frankly. We get to see a new piece of the game that never really existed before, which is, what is your game like in that room?
Yeah.
When you have to sit there and suffer through the other one of them leaving and then coming back the next morning and all of that shit. How do you handle it now? We get to see that.
We're starting to see some cracks, I would say. We're starting to see Sluss crack a little bit.
She can't take it anymore. We'll get to her date. Get to her date. But I just wanted to make mention that this is a new piece of the game. This thing where they make the last three players stay in the exact same location and have open conversations with each other, forced conversations with each other, literally where you are positioned by the producers 6 inches from each other in a fucking bed, talking to each other about your dates with PP. Who is watching this show and thinking any of it's real? I can't understand that at this point.
The majority of the viewership.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So all three of them are living together. Pee-Pee enters and he says, "Good day, Sheilas."
a brilliant piece of acting here. Pee-Pee, thank you for that.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
We've seen Pee-Pee try to flex his comedic muscle this season a few times. What do you want to name this wine we made? How about wine?
Yeah, what are Pee-Pee's best jokes this season? Wine, his Australian accent.
That's it, pretty much.
His Puma story.
Oh God, the Puma story. Who could forget? The Puma story to me is like his best piece of material. He worked on it a long time, had multiple layers to the story, really took him on a journey.
It introduced the thing that he cares about most this season, which is his wound and telling people about it.
I would even argue that him getting the wound was a bit of physical comedy slapstick.
It was very funny. I laughed and watched it over and over. Pee-Pee comes in with this fucking bonkers line after we have just all of this awkward silence between the three women. And then he grabs Sluss. Literally all three of them have to be ready to go on their fuck date. And he just picks one of them like it's a harem.
As I'm watching this and thinking to myself, the only way you can get through it as one of the players is to just be a player. I feel like emotionally that's a burden that is so insane to ask anyone to do. And I started asking myself, what would ever get me to stop watching this show? How far would it have to go? How fake would it have to be? How sinister would it have to be? And I couldn't answer the question.
No.
So I'm asking you the question now.
I literally said this before we watched this episode tonight. I was like, I cannot picture myself ever stopping watching this show.
No matter what. Eric Trump Jr. or whatever is The Bachelor. Oh, would you watch that?
Is that an amalgamation of Trump's sons?
Whatever their fucking names are. One of them, whatever one you hate okay. the most, is The Bachelor.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, I couldn't
watch
that.
Would you watch that?
No. I mean, I'd watch the first episode.
Oh, God.
All right. Just to see.
I'd watch the whole thing.
Just to see a bunch of women, like, I think it would be so interesting,
I'd watch the whole thing. How long until we get someone from the Trump world as a Bachelor or Bachelorette? Overtly from it. Like has loud and proud MAGA pictures on their Instagram and is like, I'm not taking that shit down.
I mean, we're starting to test that, aren't we? We're seeing happens with Victoria Fuller and her White Lives Matter gear. No, I mean, even Maddie deleted a bunch of pics off her Instagram. I think you'd have to be willing to get rid of a chunk of your viewership. Not the majority, but a chunk. Who are we going to see? The Mooch? Scaramucci's The Bachelor.
Sean Spicer.
I mean, I would love to see that. I would love to see a Bachelor season where everyone is just like average looking. I think it would be fascinating. Maybe we aren't getting that with this old people Bachelor show. I don't know. It'll probably be super hot 60-year-olds. Anyway, Hannah Sluss goes on the first date. They go jet skiing. She screams, "Woohoo, we're living life. And aren't we ever?" She tells Pee-Pee that she's been putting herself in his shoes. I believe this is because she's constantly putting herself in his shoes because she's constantly thinking about getting the crown. She says, "Whatever happens, I'll be here. And I will put forth that sacrifice and that patience." This was like
textbook.
One of my nominations for Play of the Game, yeah. Although we already heard mine.
No, but I agree. It's textbook. The sound strategy is to tell the Bachelor, hey, I get it. You got to fuck these other players. That's just how the game goes.
It's the go along to get along strategy.
It implicitly praises the process. It just makes the Bachelor understand it's cool to fuck. No guilt from you, at least.
It is a good play for the crown as well, because you are praising the process and being like, yeah, if you pick me for Bachelorette, I will fuck. She also helped herself with a bunch of tears here. She pulled them out.
The tears are just a little sprinkle of 4TRR. I did think of this as a possible experimental strategy. Once you get down to the last three, all three of you tell Pee-Pee on your dates, if you fuck anybody else, I'm out.
Like, are they saying you have to just decide the final one this episode?
No. You can go in the fantasy suite and not fuck.
Oh.
It's just no fucking. I think that would be an interesting to see what the Bachelor would do in that case.
It's kind of like a prisoner's dilemma, because they could tell the other girls they'll go along with it and then fuck him.
That too. You could do a double agent kind of thing. Anyway, just a strategy that I'm throwing it out there for anybody who may get in our beloved game and find herself at the final three. It's just a strategy. It's just a strategy. Take it or leave it.
I mean, the game is evolving, and we're seeing some new strategy here. The Virgin Ultimatum we sort of saw with Luke P, but he was like the dumb version of it. Maddie took that and made it this genius power move. Luke P didn't give the warning beforehand. It was only a one part sex ultimatum, and he just slut shamed Hannah Brown after the fact.
Maddie can turn it into, these are just my virtues, sorry, but Luke P looks like, you're my property. You know?
Yeah.
There's a stark difference.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, Maddie and Luke P have a different vibe during these conversations. One is roid rage, I'm gonna fucking punch you in the face and murder you. Mm-hmm. And one is, these are my standards. Like, I guess, like, ABC, if they could help me, like, find someone who meets these standards, I don't know.
I'm telling you, Bachelorette, the virgin season.
Back to Sluss. They go to drinks. They talk about how fun today was. He says, I could see a future of fun days like that. She says, I really do. It wasn't an error, but she's choking out this phrase. I really do. I see it. I see it.
And you saw it earlier in the date when cracking. They were on the jet skis.
Oh, yeah.
Where he leans in to kiss her and she like accepts it, but fuck, doesn't want to be touching him for any longer than she has to. You can see her starting to crack. The facade is starting to come down. And fuck, just hang in there, Sluss. You're so close.
We see her face, like, as soon as Pee-Pee can't see her, her face falls. She, like, takes a smile down. She's just, like, clocking in and clocking out. Pee-Pee says that her dad questioned him and said, don't tell her you love her unless you really mean it. And he's like, but I mean it, for TRR. And in a tradition as old as time, he gives Sluss the fantasy suite card and the Harry Potter key and says, shall we this is when they get to the fantasy suite, but he says, shall we explore inside?
Yes, we shall.
He does a bed forklift, which Bachelor Clues terms a dump truck.
Yeah, if you're not lifting the player up to like a higher surface where you can do a standing to sitting hooju, if you're putting them down somewhere in a prone position, that's a dump truck.
I should have put forklift on the term sheet. There's so many goddamn terms.
What are we becoming? What are we fucking doing?
Dump truck.
What are we doing? Oh, God damn it. This fucking show. When I was thinking about like what would get me to stop watching it.
Listeners, reach out to us. Let us know what would be your breaking point. What would make you stop being complicit.
How did you get out? How did you save yourself? That's what we want to know. That's what I want to know. I need to stop this. I need to quit doing this. Okay. I just need that answer. I need my own golden Harry Potter key. My fantasy suite is freedom.
Back in the nightmare suites, we find out that Hannah Sluss is the girl from the infamous shower fuck scene. They literally put a hand on the door, on the frosted door, a la Titanic.
And this is
all
acting.
Do you even think that was Sluss's hand?
Who knows?
Might have been a producer.
Even if it was purely acting. They have a fucking camera crew on the other side of the door. They have a light shining through that fucking glass door so that you can see whoever it is in silhouette. All of this is staged. They're told to go in there and press her up against the thing and make out for 5 minutes while we get some B-roll of this. It's all staged.
Yeah, I do believe that they're like, can you go kiss over there? We don't get a morning with Sluss, which was interesting. Not sure why. We do get that she comes back to the fantasy suite holding area. All of the girls whisper to each other, oh, you look so tan. They say this every time they come back from the fucking, they talk about their tan and their cute outfits. This is a new ritual. This is the first time this has ever happened.
Hannah openly says, Maddie stands up and walks away from that conversation, and it's just Hannah and Victoria. And Hannah says, it's weird we're all still here. Yes, it is extremely weird. So weird, in fact, that it can only be because the producers are making it happen. I don't understand why they don't have that fucking conversation. That footage for sure exists.
It's just not aired.
Exactly. I need that fucking footage. I want to see that show. Anyway, I just don't fucking understand these situations when they happen. I can't.
I mean, it's gaslighting. They have to make it seem like they're just like, oh, I guess it's Jesus's will that we're all in the same room.
But they've all seen the show. They all know the game. They watched last season, the season before. In every season, the last three players are kept separate, and you don't have to see them again until the rose ceremony. Yeah. No, now you have to live with them?
Yeah.
That conversation is not taking place? It must.
It is, but we're not going to see it. And I do think there is some sort of weird, like, the dynamic between the producers and the players is very strange.
If you follow some of the producers on Instagram, you'll see them appear in photos with prior players, sometimes prior bachelors or bachelorettes. Like, they hang out with each other to some degree socially. I'm sure because they all live in LA and a lot of the players move out here, at least do a year out here after The Bachelor just to see what they can do. They remain friends.
Kelly just tagged one in her story and asked how they found her for The Bachelor. Because I guess she didn't apply. She was chosen.
That is a very big clue.
Is it? A clue to what?
Yeah. That means they asked Pee-Pee about who have you dated or whatever in the past, whatever. Oh. And they just fucking raked them all in. They got two of them in one season. They even got one to be a player. I bet Marissa was on the horn to be a player at some point. And then for whatever reason, they didn't take Marissa as a player, but they were like, all right, we want you to come in and fucking...
This is interesting. Do you think that she knew she was going to be blurred out?
We're still talking about last week's episode now. We're digging a fucking tunnel to another hole that is even deeper.
Someone sent us a theory that was like they blurred her to make it seem like she wasn't just some like Instagram influencer who wanted screen time.
But it failed because you go to her Instagram and the first fucking picture she has on it after that event is her and her family with roses. Her dad has the rose in his teeth. And it says, tune in tonight to see my appearance on The Bachelor. Right.
The Victoria Fuller date, they go in a helicopter. No, they go to the beach.
They were kind of in a jungle-y area.
Oh, they go to
a
jungle.
Walking around. And Pee-Pee says, I love everything about our relationship, except our communication.
Yeah, wow. I wrote that. Yeah, if only we could communicate with each other, it would just be perfect. He also talks about her fire, and he says a lot of people, they think that's crazy and they wouldn't like it, but for me, I'm actually really attracted to that.
Yeah, he says a couple of times in his engagements with her over the course of this date that he likes her fight. She always fights for the relationship, and they won't give up, and that's valuable to him.
But she doesn't fight. She's trying to quit the whole time. Anyway, she tells him that she doesn't want him to give up on her. We cut back to the holding area, and Sluss says no.
Yeah. This is the scene where we cut back to the house, where they're forcing these players to live together literally hours after they've had sex with the same man. And we have Hannah Sluss, who has fucked Peter, talking to Madison. They are, I will remind you again, laying on the same bed, facing each other in a mirror image, about 6 inches away from each other. And there's a camera placed at the foot of the bed to give you a nice symmetrical view of this. It's fucking insane.
Sluss says, we knew what we signed up for. For me, this was like Maddie saying this to her. Sluss was like, wait, I could have not fucked him?
To me, it was like a slight attack. The target being Madison, but attacking her for the producer's benefit. It was essentially Hannah Sluss saying, that's not how the game is played. You don't have to fuck him yourself, but you can't get pissed at him if he fucks us. That is how this game works, and she needs to uphold that. Which, there's not much else you can do at that point, because you had sex with him, so...
Back on the date, Victoria says her ex of 3 years never asked her about her feelings, playing a PTC.
Late game PTC, beautiful, beautiful play. Rarely see something like this. Usually going into fantasy suites night, all you want is a briefly serious conversation about our feelings both on the same page. This is going to be a great night. And you go straight to fucking. PTC is a definite buzzkill usually for the right before the fantasy suites. But here, seemed to work out.
Yeah, she saved it and, you know, just contributes to that fire that PP loves. It also demonstrates that she's overcoming a wall and that she's for TRR. She's kind of throwing stuff at the wall, though, a little bit. She says, is that even anything? I don't know what you want. Because Pee-Pee was basically like, I need to know that you're going to always be there for me.
Yeah, she's just treading water, but she's such a good natural manipulator. She can just do it. She just finds what needs to be said in every case. However, she's doing that thing with crying and walking away, and it works every fucking time. It's brilliant. Now, I know the producers are helping her along a lot.
But PP is into it.
PP is like a secret masochist.
He says, I love that we've been through so much. That is the masochist thing. I think it's also like a psychological thing where you've already invested so much in this person. You're like, well, I wouldn't have endured all of this if it wasn't worth it. She also reiterates her love level, says, I'm falling in love with you. That night, we cut back to Maddie clutching her, I assume, a Jesus ring.
The ring has some significance. She's really working it over. Every time they show her and she's... I guess the way they're cutting it is that she's thinking about Pete with another woman and she's really just fucking twisting that ring around her finger.
She's probably searching for clarity.
Clarity. At this point in the game, we hear a lot about clarity. Usually right around hometowns and fantasy suites are where clarity is needed by both the players and the bachelor or bachelorette, as the season may be. It essentially is just... a decision will be made. Are you staying? Are you leaving?
They give us the shot of Victoria and Pee-Pee in the morning. Pee-Pee's shirtless. Victoria ups her love level. She says that she loves him after reiterating it the night before. Wonderful play.
It was one of my contenders. She was one of my contenders for MVP as well. She really did everything she possibly could have and did it pretty well. Her whole game has always been right up to the fucking edge and then step back before you fall off. So I think if she would have tried to do anything too crazy, it would not have worked. It would have pushed her over the edge. So she's playing all of her tools at this point. She's got nothing left.
She's left it all on the field.
And to overcome some of the shit that she had to this season, white lives fucking matter. And here she is on national television, one of the final three. What's she at? Like 500,000 or something?
She has 437,000.
Not bad. Not bad after what she's been through.
I also heard that, well, someone sent us this, but that Marissa gave an interview and she said that she talked with Pee-Pee for like 7 minutes and that they just didn't air a lot of it, but that she told him that Victoria broke up marriages.
That's a bit of a spoiler. So we might see that later down the road. Maybe that could be the...
Will we, if he already has that information?
Remember the clip from the promo? Lord Harrison, we just found this out.
Oh, like confirming the story.
Something like that could happen. I don't know. That's for the future. But Victoria, whatever happens in our beloved game next for you, I'm looking forward to watching it because your performance tonight really was stellar. It really was. It just wasn't at the level of a certain other player. And no one's play was, honestly.
Victoria admits to camera that they banged. She says, he's just my person. She comes back to the fantasy suite holding cell and they all whisper, you look so cute at each other. Victoria says, I feel like it was productive.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They didn't make a too big of a meal out of his sexual prowess in any of these cases.
No.
Really not at all. Wasn't mentioned.
No idea how many times they fucked.
I'm predicting that's going to be an after the final rose thing. When all the emotions have settled down a little, he's with whoever he's with. Now we can joke about it. Now sweet Nums can stand up in the audience and cheer for her son's sexual prowess, just as she did only a year ago.
Maddie plays her own producer at this point when Victoria comes back and leaves the room. It's a very crown move to me. She's like, we're going to go in here. We're going to do some pondering shots. She's creating her own storyline here. Excellent. She goes on the third date. We have them going up a very tall building. There is a climber guy there, a series of climber men who are my Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
Wait, they collectively are?
Yes.
What? Which one?
Okay, fine. First climber guy.
I had the second one. His haircut was cooler.
Well, the first one, I feel like, had more screen time. Our friend Catherine called him out as being bachelor material. So he's my bystander of the week. They get in an elevator. Pee-Pee says, I say we go big.
If I may, just kind of do a quick impersonation.
Please.
You know what they say, go big or go home. I said go big. It was kind of like that. He tried to turn it sexual. It looked like he was clearly going to make out with her, or try to in that elevator, and then she kind of like wasn't buying it, and he had to quickly divert his attention to something in the ceiling. It was a very interesting moment. Go back and watch it 15 times and see if you can pick up the subtle nuances.
Maddie does a bunch of love metaphors. Everything worthwhile is uphill. They say how much they care about each other and make out at the top. It's kind of like that psychological trick where they had that study where the people crossed the bridge and some people just crossed on flat land, and the people who crossed the bridge were more attracted to the person that they talked to after.
Because they went through some kind of exciting event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death.
You've got all kinds of hormones and
adrenaline. Yeah.
Everything's pumping.
Back at the Fantasy Suites holding cell, Victoria and Celeste discuss Maddie's ultimatum and shit on it. Back on the date, Maddie plays her virgin PTC, personal tragedy card.
This is the culmination of the play that she started in the first scene. She wrote her own episode and made herself the main character. It was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now it culminates with an end that leaves us with a fucking cliffhanger.
She basically says she wouldn't be able to move forward if he had slept with someone. And he's like, you'd give up forever?
That conversation, like, he just drags it out forever. At that moment, he's almost obligated to be like, well, I did. I did fuck a couple. Yeah. He's obligated. Instead,
she says, I don't want details, but I do need, and then she just trails off. She does all of these vague things to try to get more information, to try to get him to dig himself deeper.
Because I think she knows she can't be perceived as the one who's like pushing him to be like, she can never be accusatory in her questioning. It can never be like, did you have sex with them or not? You can never do that.
No.
You got to let him
admit the wrongdoing. She sets herself up
as like,
I will be the victim if you're not honest with me.
It's like a priest-confessor relationship. You should want to tell me.
She also,
I shouldn't have to ask.
She also kind of defensively says, I don't want to feel like a bad person for the standards that I have. She like...
Humble brag.
4TRR so says, I'm sorry I have standards. Like,
and you don't meet them. You no longer meet my standards, PP.
She says that she's pushed herself in a lot of ways that she wouldn't do otherwise. She would normally not be okay with him kissing other women. And then we get the PP confession.
But saying all that stuff, it's so fucking like important on a subtextual level because it is praising the game. She's essentially saying, you know, this process is fucking hard and I didn't want to fucking do it, but then I had feelings for you, so I accepted all these things. I inched away from my own personal values, but this one thing is what I asked of you and you couldn't fucking do it.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
It's perfect. He confesses, I have been intimate.
Oh, what a fucking moment. What a moment. He might as well have just fucking kneeled before her, bowed his head, and held up the bachelorette crown.
He just like fucking took off all of his clothes and was just like,
it was amazing. She reduced him ultimately to begging her not to leave him. Please don't leave, he says multiple times. And at that moment, she controls the entire kingdom. She is the most powerful human in Dark Lord Harrison's kingdom. He, of course, is more powerful, but
yeah, she puts herself up on this pedestal, says, I told him there was a chance he could lose me if he made certain decisions, and he made them anyways. Perfect.
And she set out her standards. She's developed an ironclad identity for Bachelorette the next season. It's going to be all about guys who can meet her standards. These guys have to be really fucking good, which translates to really fucking Christian. And that is going to be maybe the pinnacle of the Christian era of our beloved game.
You think that'll be the most Christian that we get? Maddie season.
A sea of super Christian men chasing after a Christian virgin.
Maddie also, while PP is begging her, she still looks emotional. She still looks 4TRR. She always knows the camera is on, and this is one of the ways she's a superior player to Celeste. Celeste can't keep it together when PP can't see her. Maddie brings out some tears. She brings out tears as she walks away after letting PP beg for a little while. It's a stunning, stunning performance. I've never seen someone do Fantasy Suites Week better. Maddie is my MVP. MVP.
Maddie is also my MMMMMMMMVP. She changed the fucking game. Like you just said, we've never seen anyone do anything like this.
No. And saw Luke P do the very dumbed down version of this.
But also his didn't quite hold water. This is something...
No, it villainized him. This put her up on this huge pedestal. She looks 4TRR. All the Christians are going to love it. That she didn't compromise.
Yeah, she has it wrapped up. She's the next Bachelor.
We did not see Bring Her Home to Us. Do you think that's going to be about Maddie?
Yes, this is my prediction. Based on what we now know, he is going to have to get over himself very quickly. He is going to want to propose to Hannah Ann, I believe. And then Dark Lord Harrison is going to come out and tell him all the stuff that went down with Victoria Fuller and the relationships, the marriages she ruined. He's going to lose his mind a little bit and declare the whole thing a wash. And he's going to go back home to Mama, to Sweet Numbs. And Sweet Numbs is going to say, well, which one did you like the most? Well, she left me. Don't let her do that. Don't let her get away. Bring her home. Bring her home to us.
And it doesn't work?
Yes, correct. It does not work. She got the crown.
I know, but I feel like this was the same. This was the same strategy that Cassie went for.
Are you fucking out of your mind? Cassie? Cassie Randolph?
Cassie tried to walk off to get the crown.
Cassie is not fucking Madison Pruitt. Sorry. Cassie didn't know how to fucking play the game at all. She just got by because Colton thought she was good looking and super Christian. That was it. Madison is a fucking stone cold competitor.
I'm so sorry, Maddie. I did not mean to taint your name like that by using in the same sentence as Cassie.
I'm just saying, the same strategies don't work for everybody. You have to be able to set up the context correctly. And walking off the show saying, no, I can't do this anymore. Cassie was wishy-washy the whole fucking time. She was having conversations with her dad about it. Remember all that shit?
Yeah.
She was never... She didn't have this...
She tried to set up herself leaving with those conversations with the dad.
But only because it was, like, too hard. She couldn't take it. Maddie comes in with something that is just a hard-line fucking moral decision for her life. That's not like, I don't know, this is too hard for me. That's like, I need a man who can do this. You fucking can't. I'm out.
It was so good. And just like the ultimatum could have gone so badly if she had been more hardline at the beginning and been like, look, if you do this, I'm out. It wouldn't have had the power that it had.
Let's just for a minute, because she's our MVP.
Yeah.
And because this is the play of the game, maybe the play of the fucking century.
I think this might be the play of the season.
Maybe the best play in the history of our beloved.
Wow.
Because I think she's going to get Bachelorette out of it. If she gets Bachelorette, it's up there. Super inventive. Puts her on the highest pedestal in the land.
It's a much more active way of getting Bachelorette than, say, Becca Kufrin, which was more of a victimization.
Yeah, I don't think she could have planned for that.
Hannah Brown.
Unless she was just like, as soon as they started hanging out, she just starts having super bad sex with him all the time. He's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
With Ari?
Yeah.
I have a feeling he doesn't care about that.
Let's not forget the timing of the play. And again, I'm marking the play from that conversation outside the hangar to this final moment of the show tonight where she walks away from him.
We also forgot to mention that she tells him she's a virgin in that second conversation.
Which is good. It ups the stakes. Why it's so important to me. She's not just like crazy. She has this very pure identity, and that's who she's going to be. But she begins this play 10 minutes after she gets the third rose.
Mm-hmm.
She waits until she secures that and then is like, now let me fucking make this whole Fantasy Suites thing about me. Here we go. Oh, fucking brilliant.
The timing of the whole thing, laying that warning shot in there and then not bringing out the virginity until he's already fucked two people.
Amazing.
I mean, and he's already told her he's in love with her. Like, that withholding the virginity card is part of why this was so powerful for me.
It was just perfectly orchestrated, each element of it. And I think had she told him any hint of this ultimatum prior to the rose ceremony that had Kelsey in it, I think Kelsey would be in the final three. I think he might have been like, ooh. She doesn't want me to have sex with anybody. Not even her. Can't have that. I gotta fuck Victoria Fuller.
Yeah.
I mean,
if she had said she was a virgin, even, you'd have been like, oh.
So she did it all perfectly.
Yeah.
She did it all perfectly. Fuck.
Bravo. Madison Pruitt. We just found out that she used to do pageants, which
as a teen
makes more sense now for how she's so good at this.
I thought maybe they were breaking the mold, but no. She's this perfect fucking mix of pageant queen, hyper competitive athlete whose dad forced her into sports super young, and successful champion at these things. Super fucking Christian. It's like they made her in a fucking lab.
Do you remember that video that we watched before the season of her?
Yes.
There's a video. We'll have to find it and post it.
She took it down, I think.
Oh, she took it down?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
It was a weird video that she had on her Instagram where it was just like a confessional direct into camera.
Like, even if you are down and you think you're in the muck and you're filthy and a bad person, like, you can lift yourself up. And there was a vaguely slut-shamey type thing in it, and it was
she
bizarre.
Cleaned that up, though. Her Instagram game is strong.
I mean, she cleaned up the post about the child where she called it filthy and stuff.
Mm-hmm. She's got a pretty good TikTok, too.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the Bachelor TikToks. I'm going into a new
area. What are the Bachelor TikToks like?
Some of them are terrible. Ari and Lauren.
Ari has a TikTok?
Ari has one, but he doesn't post. Huh. But Lauren does. And makes their baby dance. She dances around. Terrible. Unwatchable.
What do you mean makes the baby dance? Like moves its arms?
Yeah. The ones so far that I like the most are Mykenna. I think she's actually funny.
Is she dancing with wine?
No, she did one like where she's all dressed up in Canadian stuff. And she's like, I'm going to be super Canadian. And she's like drinking maple syrup and has Canadian flag paraphernalia everywhere. But she does like funny dances in funny places. Am I really now reviewing fucking Bachelor people's TikToks?
Well, the only Jesus one I've Christ. Seen was Celeste dancing around saying, I'm not a child, and pretending to eat baby food and then drinking champagne.
Yeah, Hannah Celeste's isn't that good. My favorite one is probably Mykenna. Then I like Katie Moe.
Oh, interesting.
Hers is really good. She's a very good dancer.
That video of Alea was very strange.
Alea's is the most frightening of them. Alea does a lot of movie quotes. She doesn't do as many songs and dances. She does some. Don't get me wrong.
She's okay. Dancing.
But she does a lot of weird movie quotes that are, I don't know.
Oh,
like
I gotta follow
a little
them.
Seeing through the fucking cracks, you know, like into her head a little bit. It's interesting. So
we
anyway,
do have
that's
a
how
Game
I spent
of Roses.
4 hours today.
We do have a Game of Roses TikTok.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
I guess we got to start making dances.
You can see some of our rituals and promos for our podcast on there.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok.
Anyway, that has been Fantasy Suites.
God, what a Fantasy Suites it fucking was. We had some traditions broken.
Really strong play by all three players. Bravo to ya. Don't know who's going home. I guess goodbye, Maddie.
Yeah, I think Madison takes off.
For now. Bring her home to us.
What's the dwab at?
It has been 6,545 days without a Black Bachelor. If you are into the podcast, rate or review us on Apple Podcast or tell a friend.
Yeah.
That helps people find the show.
And thank you to everybody who is DMing us, sending us all manner of Bachelor clues from around the world of the internet.
One request we have, we've had some listeners submitting videos of themselves doing Bring Her Home to Us. BHHTU. And we love those. Please send those to us.
If the power of the Dark Lord Harrison compels you, make a little video of yourself impersonating PP's mama, Sweet Nums, as she's saying, bring her home. Bring her home to us.
You can even use that audio for Bachelor Clues if you would like.
Yeah, and if we get enough of them, I'll cut together a little video of the funniest ones and put it on Game of Roses.
Praise be Lord Harrison.
It's the